friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Senegalese football star Sadio Mane. Mane scored two goals to help lead Liverpool past host Bayern Munich 3-1 and into the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League tournament. At the post-match news conference in Munich, Liverpool's German manager Jurgen Klopp said he was delighted with his team's performance.
The second half, then I was really happy. Not only because we won it 2-0, or because of how we played football, how mature it was, how strong we looked, how good we defended, even in the situations when, of course, Bayern has so much quality, unbelievable. How quick on the wings, strong everywhere, hard challenges, all that stuff, good in the last line, sensational goalkeeper. And we impressed them. And that's a massive thing in a game like this.
In a big game like this, on German soil, Jurgen Klopp says it was pretty special to see the Reds of Liverpool score three goals.
But scoring three here is really difficult. It's really difficult. Actually, we scored four because the other goal we scored as well. So that's massive and a big step for us, a big, big, big one for us. We will see what we can do with it, actually, but it's still a fantastic sign. I love it that we, again, set a mark for LFC, for this wonderful club, that we really are back on the landscape of international top football. And we all think that's where this club belongs to. And tonight we proved it at least a little bit. But now it's in a moment you hear it. Obviously, I'm really happy about the result and the fact that we are through. It's not that I expected it. I knew we have a chance, but I didn't expect that it will really work out. But the boys made it happen, and that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. Might also describe Lionel Messi's performance on Wednesday for Barcelona, which defeated Lyon 5-1 to advance to the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals. Messi opened the scoring in Spain with an audacious chip penalty shot. And then after Lyon pulled a goal back to make it 2-1, Messi restored order, hitting a decisive third goal for Barcelona after a trademark dazzling run to shake off four defenders. Messi also tore through Lyon's back line on two more occasions to set up two more goals. Barcelona's head coach, the Spaniard Ernesto Valverde, said Messi had an incredible match and there's no way he can be better in many facets of the game: scoring, defending, assisting. Meanwhile, Lyon's French manager Bruno Genesio said, and I quote, "When Messi is at this level, he cannot be stopped. When he is at this level of motivation, he is one of the best players of all time." Lionel Messi and Barcelona will find out who their next opponent is on Friday when the draw for the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals is held. In addition to Barcelona and Liverpool, the other teams that advanced to the last eight are Manchester City, Manchester United, and Tottenham Hotspur, like Liverpool, all English Premier League clubs. The Italian side, Juventus, Ajax Amsterdam of the Netherlands, and Porto of Portugal. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. This week, a newsmaker interview with first-term Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, a Democrat from the state of Virginia. We'll talk with her about a range of domestic and foreign policy issues, from immigration reform to the U.S. role in the world. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football, teams across the continent are preparing for the final round of qualifying matches for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. One of the big games will take place March 24th in Dar es Salaam, where the Taifa Stars of Tanzania will host the Cranes of Uganda. The Ugandan Cranes are on top of the group with 13 points, and they've already booked their ticket to Egypt 2019. But it's must-win for Tanzania's Taifa Stars, who have 5 points. Now, despite having already qualified for the African football showpiece, Uganda is not taking their Tanzanian neighbors lightly. Uganda's French coach, Sebastian Desabre, says his team is aiming for a victory in Dar es Salaam. The Cranes will camp in the Egyptian capital, Cairo, before flying to Tanzania. From Kampala, reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinj tells us more about Uganda's preparations.
Uganda Cranes coach Desabre says his team will aim at ensuring they complete the final game at a higher note. He says he believes it will be a tough game to play against Tanzania's Taifa Stars, who need maximum points for a chance to make it to the AFCON Egypt finals.
I want to finish very well in Tanzania. It's possible without conceding the goal. We are professional. We want to give the maximum in Tanzania to win this game. And I think it's a good opportunity to play in Tanzania for us because it's a game with a lot of pressure for the stadium will be full.
The Uganda Cranes qualified for the AFCON finals after attaining 13 points in Group L and have not conceded any goal. Tanzania, with 5 points, are second and have a chance to qualify if they comfortably win against Uganda Cranes. Another member of Group L, Eswatini, commonly known as Elosotu, have 5 points and could qualify and be playing against Cape Verde, who have 4 points. At the moment, Coach Desabre is training 30 players, mainly locally based, and be joined by those playing from other countries in Egypt this weekend.
During this week, we have two objectives. The first is to prepare the local player for the Tanzania game, but also to anticipate the preparation for the Shan in July and August, because we will play two important games against South Sudan. And I am happy with the boy. I have called
the Total African Nations Championship, or CHAN, is a Benin football tournament organized by the Confederation of African Football, exclusively featuring players from their respective national championships. The sixth edition of CHAN will be hosted by Ethiopia. Only 9 locally based players will make it into the Cranes' final squad to play against Tanzania. One of the players vying for a spot is Juma Balinya, who plays for local football club Police FC.
For me, I take it as a chance, because I've been yearning for it from a long time, and I'm working hard so that I remain on the squad of 9 players. And the coach, I think, is impressed by me, and I think I will remain on 9 players.
The AFCON Finals tournament was initially scheduled to be hosted by Cameroon, but was stripped of hosting due to infrastructure delays and insurgency in some parts of the country. Desabre says camping in Egypt will help his players acclimatize with the environment ahead of the AFCON finals. For the Sony Side of Sports, I am Magume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, the head coach of the Taifa Stars of Tanzania is Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year from Nigeria. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Coach Amunike about the team's preparations for Uganda.
This will be my first game in charge against Uganda. Of course, we know how important the game is, but we are doing what we have to do. For me, the most important thing is not always talking about the opponent. The most important thing for me is to look at our team and look at the areas, like I have been saying, we can improve. And then look at the areas also that we've been doing good, so that when the time comes, the players will be able to, you know, to be able to give the best out of themselves. But of course, within a short period of time, I will be spending with the players, but it's always good for me to be able to transmit my ideas for the players to know actually what I've been expecting from them and also expecting from me. I think this is just the reality of the whole team. We are working towards to that direction, and hopefully when the time comes, we'll be in a position to present ourselves.
Coach, what kind of players do you have in camp now, as in local players or foreign-based players?
We have the local players for the moment, but of course, yesterday the foreign players, they have started to join us in the camp. And hopefully today we expect to have more players to come up, and then so that we can actually begin to work as a team collectively, because the foreign players cannot report without the FIFA break, or cannot report without the authorization of their club. But of course, we are optimistic, and we are working towards to that, and we are hoping to have everybody, so we can begin to, you know, to have a plan how we want to execute the match.
From the training so far, what has been the response of the players?
Well, I'm happy with them. I think the most important thing is the players are willing to learn. The players are hunger to play for their country. And the national team is something that every player should be proud of. And I'm happy that our players are proud of their national team, and they are willing to learn, they are willing to improve, and they are willing to do something new for their country.
What has been the cooperation like from the fans and the FA, local FA association?
Oh, there's no problem. The FA here, they have it very clear. They want to develop their football. They have it very clear. They want to do something new for their football. So for me, it's a blessing having such a president and the general secretary who are keen in seeing how to develop their football from the youth senior level. I think this is what every coach needs for you to be able to work in an ideal environment, and for you to be able to transmit your ideas to the players and to everybody. So when you have this kind of backing, I say something great. And the fans, we know how African football is. The fans are crazy for their team. So we are doing the best we can. We can't just come out and talk. It's not my style. Let us work, and then hopefully we will be able to present ourselves and you know, and look at the areas we'll continue to grow as a team.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the head coach of Tanzania's national football team, the Taifa Stars. Coach Amunike spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with more sports news is my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson. And Jim says he'll be kicking off with a recent lawsuit filed by the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team.
Very much in the news is the lawsuit the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team announced on International Women's Day. The team is seeking equal pay to that of their male counterparts. All 28 members of the current women's national team joined in the class action lawsuit against the U.S. Soccer Federation, arguing they have been subject to ongoing institutionalized gender discrimination. Forward Megan Rapinoe, a 13-year veteran with the U.S. women's national team, says the dispute goes beyond the players themselves.
We need to look at the way our staff, our coaching staff, our medical staff is funded. We need to look at promotion and branding and marketing and sponsorship, all of that. And until we do, until we have equity and equality of the men's and women's team on both those sides, we can't really say, oh, the men make this and the women make this. We don't feel like we're funded equally from top to bottom. And that's really what we're fighting for, sort of a holistic approach to both programs for the Federation.
Forward Alex Morgan is in her ninth year on the national team and says the group has been very profitable for the U.S. Soccer Federation.
We have created a lot of revenue for U.S. soccer throughout the years, and you even saw from 2015 we had the most watched U.S. soccer game in history with the Women's World Cup final. So I think that those claims are really arbitrary.
Rapinoe says taking on such an established organization is formidable.
It is difficult at times. Sometimes it feels like a David and Goliath type situation where you maybe have less resources or have less experience in it, but you know, we know in our hearts and we know with the facts that we have that we're on the right side of this.
Alex Morgan says the women are especially appreciative of support from people they know well.
The men have also come out and said that they are in support of us as well. And so we respect them so much for that. You know, it's great to see that support from them, from a lot of our sponsors as well, from women all around the world, both inside and outside of the sport. You know that you're doing something right when you gain that support from people around you to help lift you up.
The men's and women's teams are compensated under separate collective bargaining agreements. The U.S. Soccer Federation did not immediately comment on the suit. Megan Rapinoe hopes positive results from the lawsuit will go well beyond the current members of the women's national team.
I don't think anybody can argue that there's gender inequities in this world, that there's a pay gap, that there's pay discrepancies. So for us, it's not only about leaving our sport in a better place, leaving it better for the young girls that will come after, but just in general, inspiring women around the world to stand up for what they believe in. They have an ally in us. We are with them. We support them. And we will continue this fight as long as we need to.
I'm happier. I've got a bit of the shakes now. I'm shaking more than I was on the golf course earlier.
Shaking down a victory at the Cotter Masters Golf Tournament was South African Justin Harding.
I didn't quite think it was enough, certainly, to win. I thought there was going to be a playoff, but I'm happy to have got over the line eventually. Obviously been knocking on the door for a little bit now recently.
Harding pulled his final round together to finish at 13 under par, two shots better than South Korean Jin Ho Choi.
Stay patient. I got off to a good start, made a couple birdies, and then lost my head for about three or four holes around the turn. And then my caddy, Alan, kind of said, right, we're still in it. See if we can make a couple in the back, and anything might happen. So I managed to keep myself in it, make a couple, and have a good finish, between 17 and 18, which was huge.
Choi thought he played well, especially on the greens, as the word putting needs no translation.
어제 사실 퍼터 미스를 많이 해서 끝나고 퍼팅 연습을 하면서 좀 어떻게 하면은 퍼터가 잘 되는지를 찾았어요. 그래가지고 그 찾은 감으로 오늘 그걸 퍼터를 하다 보니까 좋은 결과가 있었던 것 같습니다.
Perhaps along with good putting comes a cold beer for the winner.
Oh, I don't know. It's we'll see what happens. I'll maybe treat myself. I've been pretty good on that department recently.
Yeah, I haven't been here for 24 years was the last time I played in Kenya.
Thomas Bjorn of Denmark joins the field this week at the Kenya Open Golf Tournament, which has been upgraded to a main event on the European Tour.
It's good to see it moving from a challenge tour to a main tour event. It's obviously been here for many years, so it's not a new event. It's not something that, you know, most of the guys that are here have played challenge tour events here in the past. So, yeah, everybody seems to happy and ready to go.
Bjorn is looking forward to fresh challenges on a different style course.
It's one of those where so different from what you play these days. It's tight, it's small greens, you know, you got to think about what you do. It's a thinker's golf course. So So that's good. That's a nice change of scenery.
Shubhanka Sharma of India says he'll have to make a few adjustments playing in Kenya.
Obviously, the ball's flying longer here because of the altitude. But also, I feel like it's a very old-style golf course.
Like Thomas Bjorn, he's looking forward to the different course.
It's about hitting it in the right places and, you know, having the right yardage to the pin for you to stop it on the green and make birdies. So I quite like courses like this, actually.
Sharma is also a tourist, like so many who visit Kenya.
Our hotel is right next to the park, so every morning when you get up, you always see a few wild animals. When you can see them through the window, and even when you're having breakfast, so that's, you know, something very different which you don't see every day. For us, there's such a big, huge Indian community in Kenya as well, so really happy to be here.
Bjorn is looking forward to taking in the local treats.
You know, you sit down and talk to people, and a lot of people love to come to Kenya and do all the things that this country has to offer, and go and see if we can go and watch a few animals this week and do some of the other stuff that comes up. Obviously, the main focus will always be on the golf, but when we have a little bit of time off, we'll go and enjoy the other stuff that Kenya has to offer.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy sports package. Those golfers going to check out some of Kenya's sights, maybe an elephant or two out there on safari. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors snapped the 9-game winning streak of the Houston Rockets. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston, Texas.
Without Kevin Durant, the Golden State Warriors ended the Houston Rockets' 9-game winning streak, beating them 106-104. Durant missed the game due to a right ankle contusion, but in his place, Klay Thompson paced the Warriors with 30 points on 12 of 23 shooting. Thompson credits Warriors center DeMarcus Cousins for his big night.
He just played one of probably the most complete games he's played since he's been here. I mean, I was getting wide open looks from his passing ability, and he has a whole new dimension to our team.
Cousins finished with 27 points, 20 of them came in the second half, as the Warriors improved to 46-21 on the season. James Harden led the Rockets with 29 points and 10 assists.
We made too many mistakes. You know, I think we fought, you know, the entire game. And just when you're playing against a good team like that or a great team like that, you got to play hard and play smart. And we just mentally, we had a couple lapses early in the game, especially our second or first quarter. Game open looks, and that was it.
The Rockets fall to 42-26. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. Now let's go to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. That's where Oklahoma City Thunder star Russell Westbrook posted his 130th career triple-double to help the Thunder storm past the Brooklyn Nets by 12 points. We'll hear from Westbrook now in this report by the AP's Brian Henderson.
The Oklahoma City Thunder beat the New Jersey Nets 108-96. Russell Westbrook topped all scorers with a 31-point, 12-rebound, 11-assist triple-double. It was his 26th of this season.
We lean on our defense, like I said, all year long. Take pride in it. Sorry with myself. Continue to take pride in defending your position, defending, helping a teammate out, doing what you got to do defensively to be the best we can be.
Paul George had 25 points for the Thunder. Spencer Dinwiddie paced net scorers with 25 points off the New Jersey bench. D'Angelo Russell added 14 points in the losing effort. The Thunder, who overcame a 10-point deficit at the half for the win, improved to 42-26. The Nets fall to 36-34. Brian Henderson, Oklahoma City.
Thanks, Brian. Finally, some more NBA news. Latvian big man Kristaps Porzingis participated in his first 5-on-5 practice Wednesday with the Dallas Mavericks. Porzingis hadn't been on the court in more than a year after tearing a knee ligament in a game against the Milwaukee Bucks. Porzingis was playing for the New York Knicks when that injury occurred. The Mavericks acquired Porzingis in early February 2019 in a blockbuster trade. And that wraps up the March 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrack Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. This week, a newsmaker interview with first-term Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, a Democrat from the state of Virginia. We'll talk with her about a range of domestic and foreign policy issues, from immigration reform to the U.S. role in the world. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
This is Science in a Minute.
Have you ever wondered how much our home galaxy weighs? Well, according to recent measurements astronomers call the most accurate made so far, our Milky Way galaxy weighs about 1.5 trillion solar masses. That's the equivalent of 1.5 trillion suns. The astronomers gauged the mass of the Milky Way with the help of NASA's Hubble Space Telescope and the European Space Agency's Gaia satellite. Writing their findings in a study to be published by Astrophysical Journal, the astronomers remarked that of the galaxy's total mass, only a few percent comes from what they estimate to be its 200 billion stars and the 4 billion solar mass giant black hole at the center of the Milky Way. The study suggests most of the remaining mass can be attributed to the mysterious and invisible substance known as dark matter. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. After weeks of military brinkmanship between Pakistan and India, can the two nuclear-armed rivals reach a consensus on the disputed territory of Kashmir? And what about peace talks with the Taliban in Afghanistan? An update on South Asia. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is VOA News.